Good evening, welcome. It's the Club Racing UK podcast. We're back, we're racing again. It's episode 7 and we've got two guests this week, Andy and Waterhouse from My Supercar. My God, we're spoiling you lot, aren't we? My name's Robert Lewis. We're here with Nick Holmes of Club Racing UK, Stefan Marsh of Club Racing UK, both now race winners. We'll come to that later. We've got Rick Walker, we've got Patrick Seal, and we've got Ian Waterhouse of My Supercar. Evening, gentlemen.
Evening.
Good evening, Robert.
Evening.
Right, let's start with Nick. How are you doing, Nick? You've had a good week?
Oh, yeah, you know, just standard week, really, you know. Did a bit of racing last week. Yeah, something happened.
Standard, really, yeah.
Standard, okay. Back to work this week. And yeah, just...
Back to the grind. Back to the grind. Yeah. I like it. Mr. Stefan Marsh, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm all right. Not bad.
For those of you that will listen to our audio later on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts and Buzzsprout, Stefan was holding up his first place trophy, which again, we'll come to later on in the podcast. Let's not gloat too much, fellas. No. Patrick Seal, how are we, sir?
Yeah, really good, thanks. Really good. Thanks for having me on, guys. It's great. And congratulations on your little win. I have to say, I was watching on TSL timings and I think I was pushing you over the start-finish line on that final lap with you guys. So, yeah, it was great. Don't do that. Don't do
the
it.
The cat's come in the background. Mr. Rick Walker, how are you, sir?
Yes, good, thank you. How are we?
Fantastic. So you had your first round at Cadwell that we'll be listening to intently later on in the podcast as well. And finally, last but not least, we come to Mr. Waterhouse of My Supercar. You've been a busy boy the past few weeks, haven't you?
I'll keep you busy, Rob. But can I say, this is always my highlight, though. Seeing your beautiful faces always makes me smile.
Fantastic, Ian. I must say,
just quickly, before we go on too far, I'm going to have to apologise because this is a sexy lineup tonight. Look at this. If ever there was a casting shot for an amazing boy band, you're on it.
Nailed it. Well, it was mentioned by Carl Graves a few weeks ago that Stefan does look like the lost member of Boyzone, but we'll move on from there. So this week's episode, we are literally going to talk about absolutely nothing but racing. We're back racing. Yes. The past two weekends, circuits have been full of people burning petrol. Okay, occasionally they've burnt diesel as well, but we'll move away from that. No electric cars in sight, hopefully. Good old horsepower. Lap times, the smell of burning rubber, the occasional clutch going. So that's what we're going to talk about, ladies and gents. And we move on to weekend one. The MSVR package descended upon Snetterton for the 12 hours of the Enduro KA series with support acts from the Track Day Trophy, the Track Day Championship, the MSV Super Cup, some rather cool-looking radicals, the Toyo Tires Racing Saloons, production BMW, the Classic VWs, and finally, last but not least, the Track Attack Race Club. For purely selfish reasons, we're going to cover the 12 hours later in the show because it turns out we had quite a good result there. It was quite good.
Yeah, you did it right there.
But considering that most of us, in the 4 out of 6 of us that are currently in the show, were there that weekend at SNET, did you guys get to watch any of the other racing that was going on? What did you think of it?
Yeah, well, we were fortunate enough that it was quite a relaxed weekend, wasn't it, Steph, really? We were there Friday testing. Saturday, we only had an hour's qualifying. So we were very fortunate in the fact that we got to enjoy lots of other racing, which we don't get to do very often. It was really nice. As most people could see, the MSVR put on an awesome show. 38 cars on each grid, even more than that in places. It was just non-stop action throughout the entire weekend. And as I say, Patrick here, one of our ambassadors from Red Seal Racing, he was in amongst it all as well. And it was just great. It was such a great atmosphere. Everyone back at the paddock. I mean, I won't lie, I was a little bit dubious, obviously, post-COVID, but it just felt like being back at home. Felt great.
Fantastic. What did you think, Stefan, of the action?
It was absolutely epic. You know, the grids were huge. The cars on show were awesome. As I said, we managed to go and watch a lot of track action on the Saturday. And we went around different places at Snetterton and watched from all different angles. And there's some awesome racing. There's awesome to be back at racetrack, isn't it? It was great fun. Yeah. Good racing obviously, as well.
Yeah, obviously you were racing, Patrick, but did you get a chance to have a look at any of the support stuff, or were you too busy sort of getting yourself ready and focused for the job in hand?
A little bit. So I managed to get some time to go and watch the track day championship guys. So we competed in championship last year and we've moved up to Super Cup this year. So it was good to see some of the guys we know out on track. A little shout out to Chris Payne, because I reckon he was probably watching this evening in his lovely little pink Caterham. I tell you what, that's a machine, by the way. But yeah, no, it was great to see them. There were some really good fights in there. Seeing that as a Z4 owner, it was fantastic to see so many Z4s outside and on track as well. But as everyone said, you know, just getting back to the paddock, just, you know, being around the cars, you know, all the energy and everything that goes with it, it's just, yeah, just a great feeling. So we had a few traumas of our own, but we'll probably get to that a bit later, I reckon. So that means I didn't get to quite watch as much racing as I'd have liked, but no, it was a cracking weekend, really was.
Yeah, I think the highlight for me watching with Nick and Steph, the support stuff going on, was the track day championship on that day. Luke Reed fought his backside off. He won. He won. Unfortunately, it was in the stewards' room afterwards. There was a bit of controversy due to contact with a Clio going into Murray's, so they swapped the decisions.
We've got to sit on the fence a bit here.
Do I have to be partisan?
Daniel Seal has commented, Patrick, he didn't see much other than the traps. He was that nervous.
that is also true. That is also true. Although I think Danny caught most of the gravel trap actually after his little spin, didn't he? But we'll not talk about that, Danny.
We won't talk about that today.
We won't talk about that.
If you come on in the future and you've got a black eye, we know what's happened. Carrying on with the track day championship. So Luke Reed won. Luke Reed won. The winner on the road was actually a BMW Z4 that won on the road, but unfortunately got disqualified or penalised because he pitted way too early. Obviously, he took advantage of whatever safety car there was, but he just pitted too early for the pit stop regulations. So they threw him out. And unfortunately, after the contact with Harrison in the Clio, it was all settled in the stewards' room afterwards. So Luke Reed takes the win there. A shout out to Finsport, the Fiesta Alex Tate early on, having a good dice with the Civic FF2. That was absolutely fantastic watching that go. The one thing I did notice, how many bloody Clios are there in that championship? It's like they've imported half of the old Clio Cup grid over.
Yeah.
Well, that's the great thing about it, though. That's the great thing about the way that championship works, is it's so eligible for so many different cars. You know, as Patrick's already mentioned, you know, there's Caterhams in there, Civics, Clio Cups, there's, you know, supercharged Minis in there, you know, for Steph and Matt. It's just every variety of car possible in there, and the racing was fantastic. I mean, it was,
fantastic.
Yeah. No, and it does make the racing really interesting because of exactly as you were just saying, there's so many different marks of cars in there that, you know, you've got some cars that are much better in the corners, but, you know, they just don't have the horsepower, or they don't have the torque that some of the bigger engine stuff have got. So it makes it really, really interesting to race.
Certainly, it's one of the series that's been pinpointed by myself. I know, Nick, you want to take the Vectra out in there just for the power to weight ratio side of it, a lot more even. And
yeah. Well, this is the thing. You're always racing. I mean, we watched the races from start to finish, and we weren't sitting on seats, but if we were, we were certainly going to be on the edge of them throughout the entire race, because it doesn't matter if it was the lead battle or the, you know, the battle for 30th, there was battling from, you know, from the very start to the very end. And we were all stood as a group, weren't we, watching down at the bridge for the first race. And honestly, you didn't know where to look because there was just so much going on. It was really, really good. Really, really good.
Fantastic. When the Super Cup came out, unfortunately, the weather did turn a bit, didn't it, Patrick? But we will come to the Super Cup race later on.
Yeah.
So we go to the Radicals. That was quite good, clean racing. A couple of good races there. Not a lot of place swapping going on.
First race of the weekend as well, wasn't it? So it was, I suppose, I think it was officially the first race post-COVID. for those.
I think so. We kind of looked at TSL, didn't we, and kind of matched it up. But the Track Attack Race Club, that was quite a unique and varied grid. That was good. There was a lovely yellow 206 that just sat at the front, absolutely caning its backside off. I think at one point, 16 valves were going to come up through the bonnet.
Fantastic. But again, the way they mixed all those cars together, the fact you had the Track Attack guys, but you also had like the 206 GTI Championship in there.
Yeah.
You had the Tricolor guys in there. So you had like Nick Gwinnett and his Clio. You know, you had an RX-8 in there. That thing was an animal. But
yeah. It certainly did right in the wet race. I was watching some of the onboard from the wet race there. And it certainly goes well in the wet against the more powerful guys.
Yeah.
The Racing Saloon's a good mixed grid. The Classic VW that's joined that this year, we spoke to Ken Lark briefly, didn't we, Nick? They had three or four cars turned up. They've got a lot of cars still being prepped and ready.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the age of the cars, there's a few that still need quite a bit of work to get on the grid, but numbers should pick up. The production BMW as well doesn't really have the grids they used to, so I think they're sort of permanently with the Racing Saloons now. But Nigel Lyon's got two good wins in his BMW M3, immaculately prepared car. Sad to see a Honda Civic EG get knackered at the start as well. I quite like that little car, but
yeah, unfortunately there was a few casualties over the weekend, wasn't there? But
yeah, I mean, whether it's race rustiness or Snetterton's always got a bit of a thin grid, so we'll see.
It's quite narrow, isn't it? It's quite narrow on that stop. Well, it's quite narrow around the whole track, really, but
yeah, I think so. With that, gents, we move on to Cadwell Park in Lincolnshire for the BARC. There we had the Classic Touring Car Racing Club, the two CVs.
Oh, God.
CNC heads. We do know someone that was racing in that.
Do we?
I'm just trying to think of who it was. Oh, all right, Rick, how's it going? And we had the 14-year-olds in the Saxos in the Junior Saloon Car Championship. So what we're going to do first is we're going to pop over to an awesome summary by Ian Waterhouse and his team at My Supercar, a small montage of what they got up to throughout the day.
Yeah, definitely. Elaine, if we could just pop that in, that'd be great.
That was a nice little summary there. There is one bit about that that did make me really sad. It was seeing the Jägermeister M3.
Oh, don't. That was so painful to watch.
That was heartbreaking. I do feel for Graham Marsh.
We caught that. We spoke to Graham 5 minutes before he went out on track, and we do have a clip of it. I was a bit dubious about showing it. I mean, Graham was fine. He was absolutely fine. Coming out the top of the mountain and just lost it. He got into first place. He got past AJ Owens off the start line, actually. And just coming out the top of the mountain, he was defending like an absolute trooper. And it just got out from underneath him and he smashed it into the barriers. And credit to everybody else, though, and the marshals, because they all got out of the way. There was no further incident. And you know Cadwell Park is pretty tight at the top there.
Yeah.
Everybody got through safely and the race was immediately red flagged. So, yeah, it was a real shame because, you know what it's like, people watch, if you're a casual motorsport fan, you think, oh, I want to see loads of crashes, I want to see this. But when you get to know the driver and you spoke to them 10 minutes before and you can see their heart and soul's gone into the car and then you see them stack it, you're like, oh, no, I can't believe I'm seeing this, you know.
Yeah.
It was a real shame. But it was a great weekend. It was a fantastic weekend. Sorry, go on, Nick.
No, like I say, we were catching up with the cross-posting with you guys. Just watching that unfold was horrible. For anyone who's raced Cadwell, I mean, Ricky, you probably could vouch for it as well, even in the Mini. The fact, as soon as you go over the top of the mountain, your car does go light. And in all honesty, that you're kind of, that's the wrong car for it to go light in, isn't it? That in that M3. So,
It does kind of look like it. We just come back down. And
we witnessed.
Go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, I was just saying, look, despite Graham's accident, we saw some fantastic racing. We saw a great battle between Robinson and Pensavol in the boss and Thunder series. That was fantastic. AJ Owens was pretty dominant in the 03s, pre-93s. We had Guy Smith as well in the pre-66s.
Yeah.
Lamont.
Yeah, from the...
How cool is that?
That was fantastic to see.
Yeah, the Cortina was
here. I've got to say, he won both races. Yeah, it was Cortina, yeah. He won both races reasonably comfortably.
Lamont winner wins both races. Kelsey Breeze.
We also got drafted in to do the junior saloons. We did the second race for those guys as well, which is good. Lewis Saunders took that one. In fact, he took both. In fact, I think he won. We'll touch on it, won't we? But I think he won both at Croft as well the weekend just gone. Yeah, so he's doing pretty well.
Yeah, and we'll touch on that. He's looking
a little bit of breaking. He is, yeah, and good for it as well. Haven't seen it firsthand. And a little bit of news just to share, everybody. Pleased to say we're going to be making our TV debut at Brands Hatch on the 1st of August with the Classic Touring Cars. It's going to be on Sky, channel 422, so you can watch that live with yours truly.
Oh, brilliant.
There we go.
Awesome.
So, well, there we go. Sorry about that.
Rob won't be able to watch it, though.
Fair play, Nick. That was good. I like that.
That was quick for you, Nick.
That was good, very quick for Nick. Does your head hurt now?
No, it does. I need to lie down.
So to recap, the two CVs, Alex Graham and Luca Poietti shared wins in that. A reasonable grid. It's, you know, with the old two CVs, they're getting to a point where you can't just go out and buy bits from anymore. So the grids do drop off slightly and then come up a bit for the endurance stuff. But good to see them still out doing their stuff. I'm quite surprised they don't roll back down the hill when they try and go up it. But didn't do it when I raced them back in the day. And as you said, Ian, the JSCC, Lewis Saunders, brace of wins. We'll come across to him when we come across to weekend number two. And with that, gents, we move on to the Castle Combe Racing Club. Go on, Nick. What did you say?
No, I was going to say, I can't believe we've had two weekends of racing since our last podcast. It's crazy.
I know, it's fantastic.
Where's he gone?
Before we move on to Castle Combe, guys, the one thing I did want to sort of ask you, I hadn't put it in the script. How did you guys find it sort of post-COVID? Did it feel like anything had changed?
I mean, certainly from Harper's point of view, it was definitely different, right, to a degree. So, you know, when we met you in the paddock, for example, you know, we weren't shaking hands, we weren't, you know, high-fiving or anything like that. You know, we were making sure we observed the social distancing. And then in the Super Cup and TDC, you have to have a mandatory two-minute pit stop. Well, that was extended to 2 minutes 30 so that the cars could be sanitized before you got in. And if you didn't sanitize the car and the marshal saw you could see that you hadn't sanitized the car before the driver switch, you'd get a stop-go penalty. So, you know, we were made very aware that there were factors at play, but it didn't detract from the event at all. But yeah, I mean, it was there for sure.
Stefan, Nick, how did it
feel? Yeah, exactly the same. Obviously, in endurance racing, the driver changed a bit, the same thing. Where, you know, before our pit stops were never timed, you know, it was quickly getting changed driver, chuck some fuel in and get back out. Where this time it was a minimum of 4 minutes. And the same thing, we had to sanitize before changing over drivers. And if we got, if you didn't sanitize, then obviously same thing, we'd have some penalty. But yeah, same a bit, obviously, with, as a crew and stuff, we had to wear masks and stuff and we're doing driver changes and, you know, in and around the paddock, everyone's doing their little bit distancing and washing their hands and wearing masks and all the rest of it. But as same as Patrick said, it didn't take any away from the weekend. It was still an awesome weekend, still meeting up with your mates and having a laugh and going racing. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do to go racing. So that's what we did.
That was my thing. I was worried that it was going to obviously affect the race weekend. I thought it was going to be a bit too standoffish, too weird. But in actual fact, for anyone who hasn't raced yet, who's watching this, honestly, I wouldn't worry about it. As long as you use your common sense and, as we've said, using your sanitising cards if you're doing driver swaps and you're just being sensible. I think everybody adopted the old elbow high five, didn't they? That seemed to become the norm and we all just had a laugh and a giggle about it. And do you know what? Yeah, it didn't detract at all from the weekend. I thought it worked out. I thought it was brilliant. The atmosphere was there, which is what I was worried about, really.
Fantastic. We've just had a notification through. British touring car racer extraordinaire Michael Creese is watching the podcast tonight. A big shout out to yourself, Michael Creese. Good luck to you for the season with BTC Racing in the Honda Civic.
No way.
He is. Hello, Michael.
Well, hey. Creese, hello. Well, hi, Michael. Creasy's here. That's bloody hell. We win last week and now we've got superstars watching us.
Exactly. Ashley Shelswell has also messaged in. I see you wasn't wearing face mask at SNET. We are doing the Mini 24 Hour. Has been mentioned, we will have to wear them in garages. Was you told that at SNET? We did. When we basically followed that, if you were going to be working close within someone in a very close proximity, wear the mask, especially during the pit stop. Myself on the pit wall, I didn't wear a mask. But if I had a couple of teams next to me in close proximity either side of me, I would stick one on. It was more or less you kept one in your pocket so that if you needed to, bang it on, Ashley. I think, to be honest, by the time the 24-hour comes, if he's doing the mini, so that'll be with the mixed with the two CVs. So the thing I would say, Ashley, the chances are by then it would have calmed down a little bit. But if you have to wear them in the garages, just keep one around your neck or just in your pocket. I'm sure they won't be too fussed. They'll still want the distancing in and they'll probably want the car sanitised. Just over to you, Ricky. How did you find it?
Well, being my first weekend, it didn't seem sort of any different in a weird kind of way. It was quite nice in a sort of a strange kind of way, not having any spectators there or anything like that, because it reduced the pressure of sort of everyone coming to watch me and things like that. So, but all the guys were brilliant in the paddock. Everyone was social distancing and everyone was trying to make it work so that you didn't jeopardize everyone else's future on the racing. Yeah. So I think everyone was friendly, everyone got on and everyone helped each other. So it was a brilliant weekend, to be honest with you. It was great.
Yeah, good. That's it.
The point you were going to make, Nick, before I jump to Rick.
Yeah, sorry. So it was obviously just going back to the whole, we weren't wearing masks all the time. The thing we found is obviously the only time we were close to someone was with one of our other drivers. So like if I was helping Steph out the car, he had his helmet on, his balaclava and everything else anyway. He'd scoot away from the car, so it was well out of distance wise, while the other person was disinfecting the car. So the crossover was very minimal still. So it was just, we kind of planned that, so it wasn't carnage. So we made sure that, the guy servicing the car with the other side of the car while the driver was getting out and the guy disinfecting was in. You just got to forward think like that, really. It's just a bit of that.
And again, as well, the other factors to throw in, occasionally we did forget to stick a mask on as well. There's a little bit of that went on with everyone because it is so abnormal. It was, it almost felt like going back to a race for myself. It kind of felt like, okay, there's a few stuff in place, but it almost felt like a bit of a normal atmosphere because there was racing on the track and it almost felt like you were going back to when things were good. Do you know what I mean? So a bit of that vibe. Lawrence Davey makes a point. He runs several cars on the Toka package, especially with the minis. We have to wear masks on the Toka weekends for the rest of the season. Ashley Shelswell's also come back and asked, you have had to disinfect after each driver change. Yes, Ashley, we did.
Yes.
They specified a minimum pit stop time. Stefan, you want to make a point?
No, we just had a comment from Dawn Boyd asking us how we'd sanitise the car. A flop dash can't be washed, waste steering wheels, cloth seats. Drivers have gloves and helmets on. Why is it necessary? Well, how we did it, we had a big can of this bio disinfectant spray. And we just sprayed, it had to be on steering wheel, or anything you could touch, the steering wheel, handbrake, gear stick, your harness clip, and that kind of surrounding area, door card, things like that. So we just sprayed that everywhere, quick wipe over, and then just jump in. So it kind of flooded it with all of it. I mean, it's, if it's good for the car or not for the car, we don't know. The car survived, so it still looks the same. Yeah, it didn't eat anything, but that's how we did it. I don't know if Patrick did it a different way, but that's how we did it.
No, it's exactly the same. We just had a disinfectant spray bottle and some cloths and, spray down the steering wheel, as you said, gear shift, harnesses, seat. you know, the point around the drivers have got helmets, you know, we've got our fireproof protection underneath, we've got our gloves on. So the risk is minimized for sure, but it's quite easy, you know, to be holding the steering wheel, you know, touch your eyes through your helmet or something like that. So I think it's sensible whilst we, you know, this thing is still with us, right? And we shouldn't forget that. So it's sensible to take some precautions. Yeah. And, you know, that allows us to at least get back to racing, even if it's not, you know, ideal. At least we can get back and do some racing, right? And that's the main thing.
Exactly. One other point I'd like to make is we actually had a Motorsport UK come and did a spot check on, I don't know if they did it on every event that weekend.
I think they did, to be fair, Nick.
Yeah, so you know, Motorsport UK came to spot check, make sure everyone was abiding by the law and the rules and whatnot, and we all passed with flying colours. So, you know, Motorsport UK were happy with what every team was doing, because as well as us saying we were dissipating the cost, everybody had a different means of doing it. So it's not like everyone was using the same spray can or the same. I think we saw one team, I think Frugal Racing in the KAs, they had some battery powered mist demister thing. You know, if it works, it works. So
yeah, if it does the job and tries to keep us as safe as possible, you know, all for it. Daniel Seals actually replied as well on the comments. Just saying the same point as yourself, Patrick, had to disinfect the car during the pit stop. Pit stop was extended to 2:30 to account for it. Frank Frostick is saying, "Evening, gents. Evening, Frank. Hope you're well. Hi, look Frank. At you, handsome lots."
Hey.
Steph's the boy band member. Remember that.
Look, tonight we are all a boy. This is
the mega boy band right here. This
it is.
This is, I'll like when old Simon Cowell merged all their, you know, was it One Direction or Dysfunctional Erection or something? Whatever.
Let's not lower the tone.
Like you don't know, Nick.
Yeah.
Is it?
Like you don't know.
Says Ian Waterhouse with his hairstyle like that over there.
I like that. Okay.
Wait, I love One Direction.
moving on very quickly, moving on before this gets even worse than it is. We move on to Castle Coombe, and lads, we have another ambassador alert. We should really have had three on, but Mike Bland, if you are watching tonight, we are going to get you on the podcast. You are in the plans. We're doing a show on Castle Coombe exclusively, and we're going to get you on.
We will be.
Because he raced on the same weekend. It was a bloody crazy weekend for Club Racing UK and Ambassadors, wasn't it? He raced in the Castle Coombe Racing Club Hot Hatch Series in his absolutely gorgeous, pristine Peugeot 306 GTI.
Yeah.
Like I said, we're getting him on the podcast at a later date to talk, tell us all about it. And he did quite well, didn't he?
He did all right. I say, he's, you know, he's in the same boat as Ricky's track day enthusiast turned racing driver. So, you know, that's what the ambassador program was all about. It's helping these guys that are relatively new to racing and, you know, try and support them. And yeah, he was in that bracket, and he did very well.
Because you went to see the car just before lockdown, didn't you?
Yeah, so I was on an essential road trip to get parts for a race car, and at the same time I popped in to get a power steering unit from him. So yeah, got to meet him, got to meet the car, and I can't wait to have him on the show, because that is a good looking car.
It's a beautiful, and it looks a well put together car as well, which is fantastic. Same colour as your shirt, funnily enough.
Hey, there's a reason I'm wearing this one tonight, and I'm sure Steph will agree with me. Should have been at Goodwood the weekend, just gone. So this is a shout out to VRD.
Okay.
Bloody COVID.
Coming back to that, the Hot Hatch Challenge, Chris Southcote won both races in his absolutely mega 205. If you watch him in the 750 Motor Club Hot Hatch in the past few years, that thing is rapid. Going to the saloons, Gary Preble hit trouble after sticking it on pole. His turbo decided it was going to just completely crap
not
itself.
Not be a turbo.
It's
sucking and blowing.
It pretty much did that, yeah. I think it was more a maraca afterwards, judging by the pictures. It was a very second-hand turbo afterwards.
A kazoo.
A kazoo. Luke Cooper was victorious in the Formula Ford 1600 race, and Felix Fischer won race two. Quite a reasonable grid for the Formula Ford 1600s. which is good. I like a Formula Ford. And the GTs, I haven't put the result there. I know that the first race was won by Lucky Kara and his 4.8. It's either a 4.88. The new Ferrari Challenge car.
Yeah. Mega bit of kit.
Mega bit of kit. He decided he was doing some testing at Silverstone in it the next day, so he pulled out a race two and a chap won it in silhouette. So I shall... When we come... It was quite a varied grid, but when we come to do the Castle Coon podcast, we shall do a bit more about the GT Championship there.
Yeah, definitely.
So with that, we've gone forward a week already. We move on to weekend two.
Weekend two?
Weekend two. We descend to Alton Park for Time Attack. Not quite racing. Friends of the show, Solo Motorsport, were in action. AJ Howe and Phil Neal. He wasn't meant to be in his Focus, bless him. He was meant to be out testing Gareth Broadbent's Fiesta. I've got Broadband on the brain.
let's hope he's not testing your Broadband.
That'll break down a little. He was, bless him, he was meant to be testing Gareth Broadbent's Fiesta ST with a new engine build and everything in it. They've had a few teething issues, bless him, so they're just getting that sorted. Ben Robinson's Noble hasn't quite made it yet. He's got the last few bits to make. That will be making a... You can't wait for this, can you?
I can't wait to see that Noble. The work that's going into that is going to be a rocket ship.
I think basically he's going to hit the accelerator pedal. The car's going to be the other side of the country and he's going to be sat there with a steering wheel. It's going to be that quick.
Well, the engine's behind him, isn't it? So it's going to sort of launch him wherever it goes. It's going to be fun to watch.
And again, Nick, powered by Ford.
You what? It's got a Ford engine in it.
Noble is a Ford engine.
Mm. Okay, maybe I'm not looking forward to that.
That's upsetting now.
That's really upsetting. Although saying that, you want to race in a Ford. It says on the back of my car that you love Ford.
Deal with it. All right. I have a slight love for Ford now, okay?
So, yeah, friends of the show are in action. So Phil took up the reins in his Focus. AJ Howe was out in the Ford Focus estate in Pocket Rocket with a Ford Fiesta ST turbo engine in it, of all things. I haven't covered the pro categories for this because the pro cars are just mega money. It's like GT Cup. I want to focus more on the club stuff. So Luke Sedakowski of Tegua, he won a club two-wheel drive in his NSX. Chris Williams came second in a really cool old-school retro Civic EF with some pretty trick aero on it. And Johnny Fletcher came third in the Vauxhall Astra. Yeah. Going on,
I love how you said that we're going to keep it to the club level stuff, and then there's an NSX. But that is, to be fair,
the thing is that is what's entered in what is club two wheel drive, and it's like what?
Well, because has it got the Honda K20 or the Honda K24 engine in it? So it is
K20, I think, in it. Yeah,
so, something like. But it is a cool looking car, even if it does have my race number. But yeah.
There we go. So club four-wheel drive, Stuart Sims won in his absolutely mental Mitsubishi Evo. Again, club car. Arturus Oxorus. If you are watching, and I've tried to pronounce that, I'm so sorry if I've got it wrong. He's got a mental Impreza. He finished second. Tom Jewell finishing third in his four-wheel drive Audi TT. There were a couple of the classes didn't have a lot of cars in it, I think, to be honest. With a lot of the categories we're going to mention this year, there's still going to be cars that aren't on the grid for various reasons. So maybe 2020 is a bit of a write-off for everyone. Just suck it and see.
See, we've covered it already, haven't we? And we did. And again, the weekend, you know, speaking to Ken Lark and other people as well, you know, there are people that have written this year off. There's obviously everyone that was racing this weekend, you know, have still managed to go racing even after these tough times. There's people out there that haven't been so fortunate. And there's some people that, as you say, have taken the opportunity to use 2020 as a slowdown build year. So God help 2021. It's going to be a bit silly, I think.
There we go. But just back to the Time Attack, there are plans in place. I have a script written. We are going to cover Time Attack in a separate podcast. I've got loads of podcasts written out. Time Attack is one that is going to be coming to you soon. We've got some people lined up as guests. So that's going to be one we are going to be coming up to. And I'm pretty sure I've got to get Nick and Stefan to go to a Time Attack round, because it wasn't until I went to Alton last year and you see what it's all about, you kind of go, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
Because there are a few people that are dubious, we'll be honest. But, you know, it's it's not all it's cracked up to be. It can be quite tricky.
I wouldn't mind having a go. I wouldn't mind.
It's also a good way. It's a stepping stone for some people. If they're a bit nervous about entering straight into racing from track day, you can go to Time Attack. You can blast around as fast as you can with some overtaking as such. But everyone's in the same mindset. They're not racing. They're not going to bin it into the side of you type thing.
Yeah. And it's time. So it's competitive. You can get that against it.
Yeah, it has that competitive nature, which is, you know, that's why I go racing because I'm competitive. I like being.
Well, it's why we all do it, lads. At the end of the day, it just gets your juices flowing, doesn't it? So, you know.
It does indeed.
It gets nothing like that, Nicholas, bringing the podcast down again.
I didn't say anything.
No, but I was thinking it.
Right, that's not right.
With that, gents, we go across the country again to Croft. The BARC had a second meeting of the year at Croft. Brit Car headlining that. Again, I haven't covered the endurance side of it because, let's be honest, it's full of GT3 cars and none of us are going to be affording that, are we?
Nope.
The S2 Smarts won the first trophy race, the trophy category. I was quite surprised there weren't a lot of trophy cars on the grid. I think it was about 10 to 12.
Oh, really?
Looking at the TSL sheets and the reports and everything, it looked like quite a mixed grid. Yeah. So the S2 Smarts team won the trophy class on the Saturday. Oliver Smith won on Sunday in an E36 M3. Which would probably tickle your fancy a bit there, Patrick.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, on the endurance side, have you seen those Pragers? They call them Pragers. I think Motorsport Women's involved in one. And they've got quite a funky scheme on there. It's they're quite sexy cars. But they won Sunday's race after a radical prototype one overall on Saturday. We then come back to the JSCC. Lewis Saunders, another brace of wins. So I think he's probably the red-hot favourite for that championship now. We will likely see him out in Ginetta's or the equivalent.
He
does look quite good there. The Legends were out in force with six action-packed races. We had a great photo by Motivate Media. Unfortunately, I can't show it to you today, but we will post that up on the page quite soon. But it looked, once again, close racing there. Max 5 and the Mighty Minis. I looked at the grid numbers for them, and I was a bit... Again, we've already said it. Grid numbers are going to be low in certain categories, but I think Max 5 had 10 cars at one stage.
It's quite surprising.
And it's unfortunately with the one thing you don't hope is that they don't start to come down on them this year of all years and just say to them, right, we've had enough. There needs to be a little bit of leeway.
I think, to be fair, they can't be overly picky for the rest of this year, can they?
No.
Cars but on the grid is what we need.
They're
small grids this year. There's nothing you can do about it. I think everyone's got a reasonable excuse for that one.
No, that's fair enough. The Mighty Minis were also out running 12 to 14 car grids. But did you see the grandstand finish? I think it was in race two. The leader decided, I think it was 0.2 seconds to decide the winner. It was a proper photo finish. There is a photo, if you are watching, there is a photo on the BARC social media page. Have a look at that. It's quite cool.
I have to find that.
And with that as well, gentlemen, so we've skipped across that meeting quite quickly. We move on. MSVR decided we hadn't quite had enough fun with the KAs. We're going back to Snetterton. It was the GT Cup weekend. I haven't covered that again for obvious reasons. To me, it's not a club series. So Sports 2000 were out. Michael Gibbons won both the races in a much improved and promising first grid since they moved from Bark to MSV. Craig Demon dominated in the Lotus Elise Trophy. Again, I go back to small grids, but I just want to make the point. F3 Cup, it has been suffering for the past few years. They had seven cars out. Champion of Snetterton and the Heritage 16 Formula 4 1600, that had nine cars out. Mm. And then on the flip side, the seven race series, 39 car grid. Phil Jenkins won all three of the races, but 39 caterums, that's mad.
That's cool. Yeah.
But it was just like a swarm of wasps making its way around the 39. Bloody hell.
I did read, though, when I looked at the timing results, because a lot of the results here I've got, you look at TSL and look at the social media and just just to see what's happened if, unfortunately, you can't go to the meeting. One of the poor drivers, he had some sort of helmet camera on and he got disqualified for it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I don't know what the rule is on that. I thought, surely if they're secured, it's... I guess can't really modify your helmet, can you? I guess, maybe.
No, the other half will complain otherwise, but it's one of those things.
It'll have all been about the type of mount he had on the helmet, I guess, yeah, and the risk of it flying loose. You know, most of our cars, if we've all got GoPros and stuff like that in, right, they all screw in or they're in a sealed case.
And then you need
Velcroed on or a sticky. Equally, if that flies off and hits someone else in a catering behind, could make that's a mess of the helmet, I suppose. Yeah,
I suppose it'll make a change from it being like a wing or a light or something else. That falls on the
it makes a change from a catering shedding parts.
Wait a minute, that wasn't a wing.
There we go. Frank Frostick, right. Frank Frostick commentates, Praga were testing at Brands and they were flipping mental quick. We'll take your word for it, Frank. Kimmy Harmon has commented, yes, boys, come and play in Time Attack. Well, she runs quite a strong team, so I don't think I want to. We'll probably get our asses handed to us. But
bring it on. I'm up for a challenge. Do it.
Yeah, it'd be you quite good.
Me, I'll get behind the wheel of anything. If someone wants to bring me a car, lend me a car.
Why don't you take
Vector out? Okay, I need to be semi-competitive.
Yeah, true. Okay. Put a bloody great splitter on it like I put on mine. You might sort of fit in.
Taking it off now, though.
Only because of the ribbing I got from you lot.
Folded like a cheap suit, didn't you, Rob?
Oh, I just couldn't be arsed with it. Could not be
absolutely asked. Absolutely folded. Loved it.
Oh, that was an entertainment for us.
For anyone who hasn't seen the picture of Rob's splitter before he adjusted it, just drop me a message. I'll send you some pictures.
Yeah, fantastic. he sends me pictures all the time. They're not quite nice, those ones. Ben Robinson has actually said, Nick, he'll take on a challenge in Time Attack. In that noble, he'll probably lap you by the time you get to turn one.
He probably would have done. Yeah, I won't lie there.
It's going to end up looking like the frigging Starship Enterprise with the amount that's been done to it. It's like, my God, that is going to be an absolute weapon. It'd be good to see him out GT racing in it as well, because that will be competitive.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Right, with that, gents, we move on to the MG Car Club at Donington. And we have another video summary courtesy of Ian Waterhouse and My Supercar.
Yeah, we're going to show BCV8 first. So, Elaine, if we could show a little BCV8 championship montage we've got.
Metro Cup here at Donington Park. So there is your pole sitter, Mike Williams, and race one winner as well. Alongside him, Jack Ashton. We sadly lost Jack due to a gearbox failure in race one.
And away we go, and it's another great start by Jack Ashton. Mike Williams again just can't seem to get the traction down off the line. Stuart Tranter is all over the back of Mike Williams. What is going to happen? Looks like Ashton's going to get into Redgate first. Or can Williams hold the inside line? Williams going to take the inside line, is he? Or can Ashton get the run down through Hollywood there? It's going to be neck and neck.
But I can tell you, Williams is your race leader. Stuart Tranter is up to second. Katie Twigger, fantastic. She's up to third. Can she get a podium in the final race in that car? That would be magnificent to see. There is your race leader. It's Mike Williams. He's having it all his own way. He's had the whole weekend his own way. There is Stuart Tranter in second. Oh, there's Ashton. There is Jack Ashton. He's making a move on the outside of Katie Twigger as they head down into Redgate. Now, we know that road has got a bit of power, but those metros are quick through the corners. And Ashton had jumped back up into third place there. Jack Ashton has now jumped back up to third. He's going to be one to watch. He's going to be all over the back of Stuart Chanters very, very soon. Is he going to try and push on and get revenge and get Mike Williams in race two with the MG Cup here today? And there is Mike Williams, your race leader. And there is Ashton. Oh, he's got past Stuart Tranter already. He's up to the second. Jack Ashton back up to second place already. So Jack Ashton is on a mission. He is flying at the minute, I can tell you. There is Youngs, Andrew Youngs, currently running in last place. There There's Jack Ashton. What's happened to Williams? Oh, Williams is in the pits. Williams is in the pit. Oh, I don't believe it. You're a race one winner. You're a leader. He's in the pits. Oh, no. What has happened? It is going to go all the way down to the wire, this race. You're not going to want to miss any of it. And Jack Ashton there, he is your race leader. And Jack suffered a gearbox. A massive credit to his team there to change the gearbox in that car after he retired from race one.
And there is Ashton, and it's Ashton. He's going to hold on. Jack Ashton takes the win. And there is Stuart Tranter in second place. And Kaylee Twigger gets the podium.
You were quite excited there, weren't you, Ian?
Can I just say that that was obviously MG Cup, not BCBA. That race was absolutely fantastic. Race one, that was race two. Race one, Mike Williams won in the Metro GTI. Jack Ashton and him in the purple Metro GTI won race two. They were going toe to toe. Jack had to retire from race one. His gearbox went. They changed the gearbox, got it back out for race two, got the jump on Mike at the line. Mike got back again, almost exactly the same as race one. And they were going toe to toe. It was a great race. Mike Williams unfortunately had to pull off. And Jack was in the lead. And he was in the lead by about 24 seconds. And then I saw him come down the pit lane. He was coming out the pit straight. He was really, really slow. And his blue smoke came out the back. The next lap, Stuart Tranter took 11 seconds out of him. And I'm like, he's finished. He's got no chance. Somehow we kept it going. And it was one of the most exciting finishes ever. The last lap, going on to the last lap, Jack Ashton's got a problem with his GTI, his Metro. We've got Stuart Tranter in a Tomcat breathing down his neck. Kaylee Twigger breathing down his neck. We've got Dennis Robinson breathing down the neck. It is such an exciting way to finish. Somehow, Jack just thought, I'm either going to break the car or I'm going to win this. And he just went for it. And he got the win he deserved. Stuart Tranter came home second. Great shout. Kaylee Twigger came home third. And that was the last time she was actually ever racing that car as well. It's a dad's car. It's not very well. They're letting the car go after that race, and she stuck it on the podium. So it was absolutely fascinating stuff.
Awesome.
That is what club racing is about.
It is. That there is.
100%.
That right there.
Yeah, it was. It was so wonderful.
Overall weekend. Tell us a bit more about your overall.
It's begun. Yes.
Yeah, did you guys miss that as well?
Get on that phone, Rob.
What was that, Rob?
Tell us about your overall weekend with these.
It was fantastic. On Saturday we did the BC V8. And again, Ollie Mees was a bit of a star of the show. Some fantastic racing there. I think we might have a little video to show of the BCV8s if you want to see it.
Yes,
please.
Elaine, should we play that?
Awesome.
Cool. They are cool cars. They're really cool. Great racing again. And you know, it's just nice to be back out. And I'm pleased to say we are going to be doing some more stuff with the MG Car Club this year and potentially into next year.
Awesome. Do you know what I really liked about seeing that? You didn't take your pink jumper with you.
Yeah, well, I wore it the next day for the MG Cup. I'm only not wearing it now because it's in the wash.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. He's going to wear it every episode now.
I'm going to wear it every single episode, every race meeting, especially every Enduro car event that we do going forward.
Just tag me in every picture.
Just send him one for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be there, Nick. I'll be there. Don't you worry. Wherever you are, I'll be there in the background.
Pink jumper.
Doing your devil horns now.
Love it.
Yeah. That was for you, Stefan. That was for you, mate. All for you.
I was just making sure you were reading the comments.
I can't. Are we getting
still comments? There,
Jackson? Yeah, yeah. I think we're just infilling and waiting for Rob to sort his internet out again.
Are you still there, Rob? I thought, yeah, we made it this far. We made it this far. Can you hear me now?
Not really.
Right.
Oh, God.
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, he has gone.
Brilliant. That's amazing. Brilliant. He said to me it snettered him because the amount of people that came up to us was like, oh, you've got terrible internet. And he's like, oh, great. I'm just going to be forever known for having terrible internet. And he's just cementing that now.
Broadband destroyer.
Well, fortunately, I do have a script in front of me. And
well,
for MG Carp, that was the first last thing we were going to cover there. However, there is something important to cover now, isn't there, Nick? Because we've been touching on it all day. You were involved in a little race at Snetterton a couple of weeks ago, and you did pretty well.
I'd say we did pretty well. There we go. Yes. So I don't know. I mean, I can call it. I can personally call it now because I'd say it's probably the jewel in the crown of the Enduro KA race series, the 12-hour. For anyone who's ever done endurance racing, 12 hours is a very long time. But yeah, what did we do? We qualified fourth, didn't we, Steph? So
we hadn't touched or ran the car since we rebuilt the engine and everything, and the car hadn't, you know, it's not road legal, so it hadn't been run at all. So we did a test down the Friday. We had Christian Wall Square chassis set up, going for the done the alignment and corner weight and stuff, and had that absolutely spot on. Thank you so much to him for coming up. He did an awesome job.
Yeah.
So we got a bit of track time on the Friday, got the engine ran in, realised that the brakes didn't work.
So we had to fix them. They didn't work at all. the brakes were like cheese.
Yeah. So, and then, yeah, Saturday, we had a good result and qualified fourth. I think you stuck that time in, didn't it?
I did. I stuck us in fourth place, right in the mix. I was pretty chuffed with that myself.
That was proper lastminute.com.
It was a bit lastminute.com, but I was certainly felt like I was in there. The car just felt great. We spent last year working out pressures, and you know, obviously with All Square, with Chris coming up from All Square and making sure the car was all set up and pointing in the right direction. It just felt like it was on rails. It just gave you the confidence to really go for it. So I was well chuffed with a fourth place qualification.
It must have been those rosettes you'd stuck up the side from your previous victories. I think they made you go faster, boys, I think.
Well, that's it.
What were they again?
So you had the IndyCar, third places for the IndyCar 500. Dagenham Dustbin winners.
That was the one.
And then the 1992... cycling proficiency of Matthew Hibbard. that's the only three things we've actually won between us. So
we've got another one to add to it now.
Yeah, we've now got to add a first place winner. But so obviously the 12 hours went ahead. Obviously we've done it before, so the plan for it was really just to stay out of trouble, because I'm sure some people know I didn't do that last time. I got myself into a bit of a little fight that I didn't need to, and docked us down the track a little bit. So we just did what we did at Brands Hatch, really. Stayed out of trouble, kept the car rotating. I think I ended up dropping down to about seventh after my stint. But yeah, we went along with the stints, waited until the fuel pretty much was running out, and just kept playing for that. And it just kept coming to us. You know, IP Racing dropped out. Their engine blew up. I think it wasn't until we got to the last 2 hours, we were like, we're on for a bloody podium here. It's possible.
Yeah, we were just having a top 10. And then the last couple of hours, we're like, we could third was in reaching distance. So we were going for that. And then we had a very lucky, because we ran so long, we could, we were waiting for, hoping for a safety car, and luckily one come out.
I think we definitely lucked in with the safety car, which was good. I think it put something like, I think it put 15 cars between you and Frugal in second. Frugal Racing in second. It put about 15 cars between us, so we were like, oh, hello, this is, we're in a good position here. And then obviously the worst happened to those guys, which was a real shame that such a clumsy accident happened on the start, on the restart, and they were innocent victims of that, unfortunately.
It was completely no fault of their own, was it?
No, it was just, I think it was about six car wide after a safety car restart, and someone was going to come a cropper, and unfortunately it was second place. So because I think if we carried on throughout the full 2 hours, it literally would have been like the last 20 minutes we would have been probably nose to tail, and it would have been a proper dogfight, and I was quite looking forward to it. Steph had no idea what was happening because we lost our radio what 2 hours previous to that. So Steph didn't have a clue. He was just going round and round as fast as he could, doing a mega job.
No one bothered to put a pit board out, and I was convinced I was in second or third.
Yeah, so you didn't even know you were winning the race, mate. That's
no idea.
If anyone's seen our video, you can see his reaction. It's a bit, well, it's before 9 o'clock, so we can't put it up tonight, but
yeah, sorry about that.
But the reaction was priceless. Obviously, we then came over the line in first place. It was, I think we had a whole lap on, was it on the Scott Kerr and his team behind, had a whole lap on them. So
yeah,
and mega weekend.
Paul Harvey has commented, congrats on the win in the KA, so many people watching TSL and willing you on. My phone was going off the absolute foot.
I should take this opportunity now, and I know we do this as a community, and you know it's all about the passion, but honestly the messages, the pictures, the goodwill, that everyone wishing us good luck felt incredible. Literally so many people going, oh, we're watching on TSL, go on boys, and then insane, just absolutely insane. Unfortunately we didn't get to stand on the podium, but
we did get shiny trophies.
Such a rush to back up, we completely forgot the walk up there from
Hitler. Well yeah, for anyone who didn't know, me and Matt actually had work the next day. We live 4 hours away from Snetterton, so we unloaded the car at 3 o'clock in the morning, and me and Matt went to work at 7. Don't
unreal.
Recommend that. I don't certainly, recommend that at all.
Certainly working with you guys on the pit wall, it was quite satisfying to see all the hard work you'd all put in finally pay off. Fair play to you guys. And a big shout out to Phil Neal as well. He came up and helped us at the weekend with Solar Motorsport, bless him. He was such a massive help. He's worked in endurance racing, he knows what the crack is, and again it's another Carmen influence, and he's just commented a very good weekend with a mega result.
It was great,
and he bought good beer as well.
While we're doing shout outs, I mean, Justin White, our mechanic, anyone who's met him in the paddock knows how hard he works, and I mean that car did not put a foot wrong. We were banging 6,200 RPM out of the thing for 12 hours, and it did not skip a beat. Not a single thing went wrong with it. It was fantastic.
Fantastic.
So, Justin, that is a massive thumbs up to you, mate, for building such a awesome car.
And a few other shout-outs as well. We had the Almost Races had quite a nasty roll. One of their cars run by Grave Motorsport. Yes. Luckily, they got straight out. They were okay. Frugal Racing, we've mentioned, chasing us right until about 45 minutes away. It kind of had everything, really. And Shine Automotive, let's give a shout out to them. Again, what club racing is about. Wayne Clellan, Colin French and the boys, just amazing. Yep.
Three engines. They put three engines in that KA.
Engine changes in a weekend.
Yeah,
go on, insane.
And they didn't finish last for it either. Fantastic.
Big on mechanical sympathy then.
Well, if you saw how they chopped one of the engines out of the donor car, definitely not.
Is it just an angle grinder and out?
I think Wayne was showing off his Mac tools all weekend, wasn't it? And he had a bloody reciprocating saw, and he literally just cut the front of the car off.
Was it one of those things? He got a new set of Mac tools for Christmas and hadn't been able to use them all year, yeah, so he was like, right.
Hammer and a grinder.
Well,
he
did it well.
Fantastic. So from that weekend, Taylor Norton's just joined us as well. Congratulations on your podium as well, Taylor. First well done, race mate. In a KA, and he got third. Well done, mate. And the Barwell Autosport boys. We move on. Mr. Rick Walker. We move on to you, good sir. We want you to tell us all about your first race weekend in the Mini.
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, got up early on Friday and went testing on the Friday, which was damp at Cadwell in my first sort of weekend. Was interesting, put it that way. I've been around there many, many years ago with my dad, sort of on bicycles, basically on a charity thing. So it was a bit different driving around in the Mini on the Friday. Everyone obviously pulled up Friday afternoon, barbecue. A beer was offered to me, which was always nice as I came off the track. And then Saturday went into qualifying. Obviously, first we got to sort of see some of the crazy cars going round. At testing, I was following a couple of the two CVs around. I don't honestly see how you can have more fun in a car than those boys. They literally must be grinning ear to ear, those things sliding around everywhere. They must be incredible. So that was definitely a shout out to see those guys doing that. And then the supercarts were there as well, which again is just...
Oh, they're ridiculous.
I don't think they have seatbelts. I'm pretty sure they don't. So that, for me, that was quite interesting as well to watch those go around. So yeah, it was good to see, obviously, qualifying. Again, a bit damp. Everyone was deciding which tyres to go. I didn't. I just put the semi-slicks on and thought, they'll do. Let's go. I should have been. So that was quite good. The qualifying ended up being 18th out of 24. So I sort of was where the car should have been, if that makes sense. And then went into the race on Saturday afternoon, stroke evening at about 5:30, bit delayed. So yeah, it was good. First race was just, yeah, it's one of the guys, big shout out to one of my mates, Dave, who came with me, mechanic all weekend. He was asking me about tyre pressures and goodness knows what. I was just sort of nodding my head and, yeah, crack on, put some air in, that'll do. I'm a bit more technical than that, but the first, obviously at Cadwell, if you've ever been, it's the tiniest sort of straight in the world when you start, and Dave's response was, if anyone stops in front of you, just go around them, just pull left. Obviously sat there first race on the starting grid thinking, there is no left. I don't know where you want me to go. So that was sort of realization, thinking there's not a lot of space here. But got a reasonable start, which was quite good. And then just sort of had a bit of a play with one of the MX-5s and a CRX. But then they sort of disappeared and the race sort of, it was quite nice in a weird kind of way. I was sort of by myself for quite a bit of it. So it sort of got me used to the car and obviously some of the speeds that in CNC, it's similar to, I suppose, some of the, you're saying about the track day championship and things like this, the speed difference is mind-boggling. I was on the sort of the back straight and one of the Sakers, one of the JPR Sakers, Paul Rose, came past me as if I might as well have been just stood still. It was phenomenal.
Mental the speed.
Oh, just, you know, there's three of them going round and then there's Paul Dobson in his RX-7 engine Locust, one of the other boys, Danny, in his Spire, two Spires. You know, they are properly quick, and I'm just there in my little family hatchback having a nice time.
She's on a Sunday drive, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So so it was good, actually. Saturday night, obviously got in the car, absolutely buzzing, first race, loved it. I don't know why it's taken me this long to sort of jump into a race. Or, as I say, if anyone's listening who's thinking about doing it, just do it, because it is just, yeah, it is the most fun you'll ever have. And everyone, I spoke to Nick about this, everyone was the most, like, so friendly in the paddock. No matter where, what series, what car, they were all asking, you know, asking questions and giving me advice and things like that. It was, they were really, really good guys. So, yeah, I was chuffed on Saturday when I got out. It was good. Tired, but chuffed.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, I think a hurricane or typhoon came through the campsite on Saturday night.
We had that as well.
Yeah, I was in a blow-up tent, so it made it a bit more interesting. I was obviously, it battered the tent a little bit. So I got a reasonable night's sleep, put it that way. And then woke up on Sunday and obviously watched quite a lot of the stuff going around. We were fairly early race. I think we were about 11:30. But we tried to watch all the Thunder and the Thunder and Boss. Some of the cars in that was just bonkers. Was it the Holdens and the those?
It was. Yeah, there was a Falcon in there as well, wasn't there?
The Andy Robinson Falcon.
Oh, I mean, if you ever, if you'd have taken your kid there who wasn't interested in cars, you're goosed for the rest of your life, because that noise going round was just incredible. So,
it's infectious, isn't it?
Oh, and then, race two, we were on slicks. Everyone had dried out a bit, which made the quicker boys even quicker, which was nice when they come past you at goodness knows what speed. And they, for whatever reason, they always went past me on the mountain. And then I'm trying to go through these twisties and I get four people coming past me. It was just, and one of the guys, Danny, said, "Oh, I didn't even know it was you, Rick." He knew full well that it was me coming. No, I was just on the outside, hoping dear God to not hit any of them.
Yeah.
So it was, but yeah, it was good. Ended up qualifying 18th and finished 13th on the second race, but finished 11th on the first race. So it was good. It was, so it was good fun. One of the other guys, Gary, who's in my class, was driving a Mini as well. So I got, it was quite good to sort of benchmark where I am with him. And in the first race, I think it was about, ended up being a second and a half, 2 seconds off him. So it was off his pace. So it's, so I was pleased with the weekend. Cadwell as a first one was interesting, put it that way.
I was going to say that if you're going to start your racing career anywhere, Cadwell Park, that's
Cadwell in the wet,
mate, that's for sure. Yeah.
Well, it was because obviously this bloody COVID and everything, it was supposed to be Alton Park, home circuit. I've been around there for years, so it would have been quite good. But in a weird kind of way, I'm glad that I did start at somewhere where I wasn't that comfortable, because I didn't try and push the car. So actually, it worked really well. So, but next time out, Donington at the end of the month. So yeah, should be good. But yeah, I love it. Like everyone needs to get involved. So it's just brilliant. For me on the Sunday, my car wouldn't start. So brilliant. And this is an hour before the race and everyone's coming to fix it. I'm like, should you not be sorting your car out? No, mine starts. Oh, brilliant. Thanks. But
mine works.
Which is, nice of them. But everyone came and helped. It was absolutely brilliant. And then, so I can't wait to get back now. That's the new problem.
Yeah. I mean, just going on that, you're saying you're having car issues, that is what makes club racing. I find sometimes that the atmosphere and the people helping out sometimes is actually more entertaining than the racing can be at times. You do make some proper friendships. I mean, look at us the weekend, Patrick. I think we spoke briefly over Facebook a couple of times and, spoken about things we want to do, but I feel like when we finally met each other properly for the first time, and to be fair, Ricky, I think it was the same when we were at Autosport together, we just, you're just car people and you just all get on, don't you? I don't think.
No, and do you know what? I was going to mention this as part of our roundup for the weekend, but it's appropriate at this point. Like just talking about that feeling in the paddock when you've got a good series. The guys from Thorny Motorsport, I've got to give them a shout out. Our car was having some problems, which I'll talk about in a bit. we'd managed to lose our spare set of spark plugs and coil packs. The guys from Thorny Motorsport were just like, yep, there you go. There's a set of plugs. Go knock yourselves out. Just, we'll see it's Snetterton sort as a pack out then. And without them, we wouldn't have been racing. So, you know, when you get a good paddock, it's a fantastic feeling. Really helpful.
So let's move on to your race weekend, Patrick, in the Super Cup. First race in Tango with your brother Daniel. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, so for those of you that follow us through you know, the various social channels, you'll know we got a new car this year. So we went from a E46 330 to, we've gone backwards to an E36, but it's running the S54 engine called Tango. And I think, from as far as I understand it, this car is relatively famous in the club racing scene. I think Rob, you used to watch it as a kid in the brick car scene.
Yeah, brick car when it used to race. Now I'm pretty sure it did GT Cup as well, didn't it, in the lower classes?
Yes. Yeah. I think that's very well past that. Yeah. So you know, we went and tested it at Brands Hatch a few weeks ago for the first time. So we picked it up at, I think it was the first couple of weeks of June, and then we tested it 2 weeks later, and then we were kind of out the following week at Snetterton. And coming into Snetterton, we were having some problems, so it wasn't firing well. We got a misfire. I'd love to get more technical than that, but the guys at Competition Classics are the guys that are good with the spanners, whereas me and my brother are just the spanners that drive it. So, you know, they'd spent the entire week hunting it down, trying to find out what the problem was. And, it was running better, but we knew coming to the track it wasn't good. And we also knew that we just put a full new set of brakes on it as well, so, which hadn't been bedded, nothing. So they were completely cold.
What could possibly go wrong?
I know, right? And this car is such a big move from where we were before in our old car. Like, I can't tell you how different it is. You know, just for one thing, just getting used to a flat shift gearbox, right, is just incredibly different from a standard H-box. So,
most manly thing ever.
Sorry?
The most manly thing ever, flat shift gearbox.
Oh, mate, it's incredible. Yeah, as you go down that back straight at Snetterton, and, you know, it's getting up to around 7,500, and you just bah, get that next gear. It's fucking outstanding. But yeah, you know, it's just such a different car. So we're getting into, you know, we're in Class S as well, so it's the biggest class in the MSV Super Cup series. And we got into qualifying. We went out. We were hoping just to put in a good show. And unfortunately, the car just didn't run well. So every time we tried to come out of a corner, the car just plugged up, coughed and farted all the way down the straight until it cleared. But then you got to the next corner and it plugged up again. So we qualified 16th, which wasn't great. And frankly, we knew we were a little bit unsafe on track. So Danny and I had spoken, and we'd agreed that if we couldn't do anything in the window between the start of the race, we just weren't going to run. Because, I mean, everyone that's a racer knows, right? You're trying to come out of a corner, everyone's accelerating. And if you don't go, someone's coming through the back of you, right? So I have to give a really big shout out to our pit crew and the guys at Competition Classics for managing to get us racing. And I mean, with like kind of half an hour to go, they managed to do something that got the engine running well enough for us to go race. So we don't think it's perfect yet. We've got to get a remap done, and that'll help us for the next race at Silverstone. But we got to the grid, right? And for me and Danny, that was awesome. You know, we were just like, right, we're going to make the grid, right? So it doesn't matter where we come, just get back, right? Just go and have some fun. We, you know, we're in a Class S car with an awful lot of other cars between us and the front. So we knew we were going to, you know, have a good bit of overtaking fun. And then it rained.
And it rained as well, didn't it?
It
rained a lot. Yeah. That was great.
I remember you coming over to us, like, and we were just all stood outside the back of the garage, like, guys, it's raining. And I just remember the look on your face, just like, crap.
Yeah. it wasn't great fun that bit. No. And so I'm very glad my brother started in the car. So thanks for that, Danny. So he gets onto the grid in 16th, and you know, without making this a really long-winded story, we've raced at Snetterton twice before. Every time Danny started at Snetterton, and every time someone has stalled on the grid in front of him. And I'm pleased to say that this time was absolutely no different. So make it three in a row. So off he goes. And then actually it was a car two up, and the Civic in front of us had to pull left. So Danny had to pull further left, which Ricky, in case, you know, just so you're aware, mate, when your guy told you further left, he meant the grass, which is where we ended up. And thankfully Danny controlled that pretty well. It's quite easy on the grass in a, you know, a 249 brake horsepower per ton car to spit it out and end up in the wall. So we got back on the grid, and somehow, guys, if you remember this, by the end of the first lap, I was jumping up and down because we'd gone from 16th to 10th.
Yeah, I remember that.
Awesome. But then I think we got to the end of lap three. We got to sixth. And then we ended up back in 16th. Unfortunately, Danny, we just got it a little bit too late on the brakes, a little bit too hard. And as we were dropping, it looked like as we dropped through the gearbox, we just locked up the rear and around we went. So thankfully, there was no damage on the car. He did actually manage to just about keep it on the black stuff. And ended up restarting in 16th. So we did it all over again. I think we came to the pit stop in eighth, I think. Did a really nice job on the pit stop. So I think you have to have a minimum of 2:30. We came out at 2:31.2. So we didn't really lose any time in the stop. We came out in seventh. And then I had a really good 20-minute long fight with Callum Noble from Thorny Motorsport in his M3. We posted up our video this week. It's worth having a watch. The pair of us, this isn't fast, by the way, and this is not how you should be driving a race car in the wet, but we were very sideways an awful lot. On two occasions, I remembered and discovered that adrenaline's brown, and almost stuck. Almost stacked it twice.
Love it.
I love that.
So yeah, there's some good video footage of that if you find that on our YouTube channel or Facebook.
The bit I do remember is being on the pit wall with your pit crew just as you got into the car, and I distinctly remember him saying to me, yeah, he's having a lot of fun out there because all I'm getting feedback on the radio is woohoo.
Yeah.
I did do that down the back straight. I think I went past a Peugeot 306 and a Clio and they both went one way, and I just kind of switched around and went the other. And yeah, it was lovely. Enjoyed it. So me and Callum had a really great fight. I almost managed to hold on to sixth, but he did get the better of me in the end, and we finished seventh. So, you know, our first weekend out in a car that we didn't know, in the rain, and seventh. And I think we were within, I think half a second, our fastest lap within half a second of the front runners. So, you know, we know we've got more pace in the car. There's more pace in me and Danny. So we are really, really hopeful of the rest of the season ahead and really 2021. You know, that's going to be a really big year for us. So, you know, like I said, thank you to, and this is a shameless plug, by the way, guys, and I'm not afraid to say it. Thank you to our sponsors in ADS. Financial planning for supporting us and making it work and making it happen, and the guys at Competition Classics for keeping us on the grid and you know, helping make the car what it is. So yeah, awesome.
Fantastic to hear. Don't think you got away with that one, Steph. Well, I saw you disappear, so you can no longer take the piss out of my broadband. There we go. Well, guys, Ricky Walker and Patrick Seale, it's been an absolute pleasure to hear your first weekends, whether it's new car, just new race weekend, new series, first race, whatsoever. It's great to have you guys on and talk about it. The best bit about it is you both absolutely enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, it was mega. And thanks for having us on, guys. It's great.
Thank you.
Patrick, no, it's been great.
And my helpful advice just before your pit stop.
yeah. Thanks.
Anytime,
for that,
my man. Anytime.
Do enlighten us.
So I'm a bit apprehensive, like I said, getting in. You know, we're stepping up from a car. Our old car was a class C car, so it was 179 brake horsepower to a ton. Into, you know, as big as it gets in the MSV Supercup. So it's quite a big step change. It's raining. I haven't raced in 7 or 8 months. Steph's like, oh, I've raced around here a few times. Yeah, okay, oh, great. I always find coming through the final corner a bit interesting. He said, yeah, well, as you go through, you just kind of, you want to be middle of the track, but not too far left. Otherwise, you kind of get spit out. And I was like, are you sure you don't want to kind of hold the inside and hold the camber? He was like, no, middle of the road. So that was a great idea. So I tried it. And then you try it again and you get a bit faster and you then start keeping your foot in a bit more. Yeah, and then I remembered Steph's words as the front end started washing out and I started looking at the grass and he went, yeah, if you start washing out, though, you're going to hit the grass and the wall. And I could see it coming in. And I've just starting to gradually drift along like this. And all I could hear is Steph going, no, this isn't going to go well.
Oh, no.
So thank you, mate.
I don't know why you decided to take advice from me when I drive a KA. There we
go. That's the best thing about it.
That's what club racing's all about.
Yes.
And Rick, my advice to you, be very careful, mate, as a new driver and a new racer, be careful who you take your advice from.
Always go for Steph, is that what you say?
Yeah.
Will do.
Well, let's be honest, he's a race winner now, so
yeah. Oh yeah. There we go.
True.
He knows a little bit what he's talking about.
No, but one day you get one of these.
Yeah, one day, boys. Try hard and you will succeed.
And on that note, Stefan, we couldn't show the video today because obviously it is before 9 o'clock. But no, if you are listening and you haven't seen it, if you are listening and you haven't seen it yet, there is a special video of a certain Stefan Marsh crossing the line to win the 12-hour KA race. Yeah. And he's quite happy.
That's just all a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I think it was a lot of shock, really.
Was it? Yeah, it was definitely a surprise.
Because I had no, as we said, I had no pit board the whole time, so I didn't know where it was. Every now and then, all I could see was JR Mechanic going... I was like, what does that mean? Like, at least no one's trying to shout at me and telling me I'm doing something wrong, but I have no idea where I was.
But just think, if you did know where you were, we wouldn't have that video now.
True.
So
very true.
Yes.
So in the space of two weeks, my broadband has managed to last 50 minutes. Stefan and Nick have become race winners. Patrick has had his first race in Tango with his brother Daniel. Rick Walker has had his first race in the CNC Heads with the Mini Cooper. You will be hearing about their results all throughout the year as Club Racing UK ambassadors. I just want to run over. I haven't put this in the script. I just thought of it, looked at it earlier on. Just a quick preview of next weekend. Alton Park, you've got Civic Cup, Compacts, Formula Ford 1600, all with massive grids. 750 Motor Club, I believe they're at a number of circuits this weekend.
Yeah,
Alpha Live are going to be streaming. Derek Snetterton, Ian Waterhouse is going to be there with 4040 Racing. Club Racing is definitely back.
It is on. Racing is back, ladies and gentlemen.
So at this point, I want to say goodbye to everyone.
Well,
I've got a few words.
Well, no.
Every time.
No.
Come on. Everyone else has had their shameless plug. Now it's our turn. ladies and gentlemen, for anyone who just didn't see from last week, we've now got a new competition available. New Club Racing UK competition. If you are interested in winning a wired GoPro kit, this is a GoPro that you can start from your dashboard. You don't have to worry about forgetting to turn your footage on. Our latest competition, sign up as a member, you can win 250 quid's worth of this wired GoPro kit. We're going to run it for a month or two. So yeah, sign up below clubracinguk.co.uk. Sign up as a member, £2 a month or £20 for the year. You also get great discounts with all of our discount schemes. What's not to like?
One, Dark Side Developments.
Yes, yes. Awesome one with that.
Thank you very much.
So we're constantly trying to bring on great deals for everyone. So come and support Club Racing and we'll keep helping you boys out and girls.
Fantastic. All good, chaps?
Yeah,
I think so.
Any more shameless plugs?
You got any more golf going up in?
No.
I've got a bit of tomorrow and I can share it.
Tomorrow.
Cut.
Stefan. We're live tomorrow. Touch Pro Tour, £25,000 prize pool. Watch live, content live golf.
Hey, look,
Devil Horns tomorrow, then, Ian.
Why we've got some guests on, Ricky, Patrick, what do you think of golf?
Go on, Ricky.
I figured out now that it's actually a cracking excuse to go away for a boys' weekend. and also keeps in the theme of what we're doing. You will have, again, similar to the two CVs, those golf buggies are awesome fun.
Okay.
I think they're quicker.
Yeah, probably.
They're quicker than the KAs, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'm playing golf in the morning, so I think that tells you what I think of it.
It's just me then, is it?
Is that Nick? It's down your way. It's down your way. It's in Southampton tomorrow, the golf. Feel free to pop over. Touch Pro Tour. Matt Letizia is playing. Andy Sullivan. A few European Tour players are in the field, so it's going to be a good day. Content Live Golf. Watch it all live from 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which cricket pitch are you playing on? A golf pitch. What do you call it? Golf course. Which one are you playing?
Stoneham Golf Club. It is.
I was going to say if it's near Poulton's, I'd throw things at you. But yeah. You're not, so I won't.
Can I quickly share a bit of car porn for everybody before we go?
Right, okay.
Just look out for this. This is coming to a racetrack near us at some point. This isn't us, but the guys at Competition Classics have built this for a customer. It is an entire nut and bolt replica. Parts have had to be especially machined, made for it to be authentic. But it's an original chassis.
God, I've had a crisis.
So there you go, Japs. I thought that was a nice point to leave out with. Because that
clean up in aisle squinter.
I was going to say the underwear is feeling a bit damp now.
Oh yes.
And with that, gents, I wanted to say a final few words.
Go on.
Because the past 2 weeks would not have been possible without a lot of people. And you're talking about people like Doreen on post 15 at Snetterton. You're talking about the timekeepers.
Yes.
You're talking about all of the marshals that are still effectively, while there is a pandemic going on, risking their neck. You're on about the timekeepers, the series coordinators, the clerks of the course, the scrutineers, all of the volunteers that are effectively making sure that we go and have a laugh and then talk about it. So everyone out there that's in a voluntary role, whether it's with the MSA, whether you're a marshal, any club around the country, thank you so much. Because if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be doing this right now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And with that, it's been Robert Lewis, just about, Nick Holmes, Stefan Marsh, Rick Walker, Patrick Seal, Ian Waterhouse from My Supercar. This has been the Club Racing UK podcast, episode 7. We're back in 2 weeks with even more. Thank you. Good night.
Yes.